In today's episode of Green Grass and High Tides, I'm going to be talking all about cheese, Snowdonia Black Bomber. It's a wonderful cheese. I'd first tasted it years ago, but I'm very pleased to be talking today about how to cook it, a little bit about waxed cheeses in general. If you're looking for a new way to do your weekly shop, then check out 44foods.com. They partner with UK producers who are passionate about the fantastic food they create, whether that's fresh fish from the Cornish coast or prime Scottish beef, taking that passion for delicious food and delivering it with care direct to your door. So that's 44foods.com. Doing this podcast in association with 44foods.com is great because I get access to some fantastic cheese from around the country. Now, they actually work closely with The Cheese Merchant, which was founded in 2017 by George Lang, who grew up on a dairy farm in Somerset, trained as a chef in a Michelin-starred restaurant, and then went round choosing some of the best cheeses to get direct to us. So his business supports British farmers by providing honest wholesale cheese prices and then delivering to delis and restaurants around the UK. The Cheese Merchant also offers a very good range of cheese and dairy products that come directly from more artisan producers. So obviously committed to sourcing higher welfare, responsibly sort of produced and ethical products. Now, the particular cheese I've gone for, the Snowdonia Black Bomber, is one I first tried at a food festival years back, fell in love with, but it's mainly the fun side of this as well. The characteristics of its shape, but also the flavour inside. It's a wonderful cheese. So it comes from the Snowdonia Cheese Company, which is based up in Denbighshire, and it's an award-winning extra mature cheddar. It stands out to me for its sort of just immense depth of flavour and a very smooth, creamy texture. In general, a cheese like this, obviously, you know, many people know of it. It's fairly well known because it's won multiple awards, but it cleverly sort of combines delicious, rich flavour with a smooth creaminess. So it's a flagship cheddar. It sort of lasts long on the palate. It's got that wonderful tang sort of maturity to it, but also is very, very Moorish. It's won awards at the British Cheese Awards in Nantwich, International Cheese Awards, and the World Cheese Awards. It actually received a super gold at the Mondial de Fromage in France. In terms of, you know, flavour pairings, we're going to talk a lot about how to cook with it, how to serve it. But drinks today, I've gone for, you know, an IPA, something quite unusual in some ways to pair with this, but that's because the dish I'm going to be cooking later is a real luxury beef burger. Aberdeen Angus steak, you know, some good pickles, mushroom, brioche roll. And so the IPA comes from Purity Brewing Company. It's a Longhorn unfiltered IPA. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, crack it open, have a taste. It's going to be a cheese that could be very sophisticated. You go down the cheese board, and if you're going with wine pairings, a whole load of potential there. You could look at a nice sort of Cabernet Sauvignon. You could go down the route of an Italian wine, potentially. Look at basically robust flavours. You get away with all sorts with a cheese that's as strong and creamy and rich as this. So a very versatile cheese to cook with, to serve on cheese boards. But one of the things I really want to focus on in today's episode is waxed cheese and why some cheeses are covered in wax. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience of that, and then we're going to get cracking and open up this Black Bomber and try the IPA. Okay, so waxed cheese is something that in certain regions around the world is just how a lot of people make cheese. But it's also something that from an artisan sort of perspective has got some real advantages. Waxing is the way that you keep your cheese from drying out. And you don't want, you know, the surface of a cheese to be colonized by unwanted bacteria as you age it. So traditionally, most cheeses are aged in, you know, the perfect cheese cave, an environment that's at the ideal temperature and humidity. However, many of us, and cheesemakers included, don't have a cave in the bottom of the garden or down the dairy. So we end up using wax or cheesecloth to wrap and protect our cheese while they age. In some ways, it's come out of necessity. People who potentially don't have quite as much space for the aging, sort of maturing process in the cheese. But from a domestic or small-scale cottage industry sort of perspective, it's fantastic to lock in the flavour, but still allowing that aging process to take part. So cheese wax is actually readily available from cheesemaking suppliers. You can get them online. So there are several different colours available. And traditionally, certain colour wax was used on certain cheese. So red wax usually meant a plain Dutch-style cheese, green on cheeses with herbs, or brown with peppercorns, orange if you're using cumin or spices, and then even yellow on a young cheese and black on a mature cheese. So really interesting sort of bit of history there that would give you a bit of a clue. If you see a waxed cheese, that it's not just, you know, a favourite colour. There is sort of a rationale behind the choices there. Now, obviously, a black waxed cheese, like, was aged for longer, slightly harder texture inside. But the waxed is usually bought in slabs and melted down. And then you take the cheese out of the cool environment, wax it. And you can do this either by dipping, which we'll talk about in a sec, or by painting on a thin layer of wax with, you know, a brush or a sponge. The waxing process is, obviously, you're dealing with sort of a molten hot wax, so wear gloves if you're trying it yourself at home. I've done this previously for some cheese that I've made, and it's great fun. It's a bit different to have a play at. But once waxed, the cheese is then aged as well. So it's not, doesn't mean it's just a completely fresh cheese. It can be aged at sort of 3 to 4 months, or 6 to 12 months, and even longer for sort of hard cows or goat's cheeses that are wrapped. You can try wrapping instead of wax in cheesecloth, and there are some producers as well who will use nettles or wild garlic, you know, basically providing a barrier that stops the cheese from drying out, but also concentrates the flavour inside as it ages. It's basically a very early vacuum packing kind of machine option. So except without the same amount of plastic, really. So the process, if you are giving it a go at home, just for a bit of fun, you take your cheese, having made it, and then you melt the wax, almost in a bain-marie, dip the bottom half of the cheese into the wax, hold it there for a few seconds, and then remove it, leave that wax to harden for a minute, and then turn the cheese over, dip the other end in, allow it to cool, you know, on a sheet of greaseproof paper, and then use a pastry brush just to brush over any gaps in the wax. Now, I've got a friend of mine down the road, a guy called Giel, who runs Cornish Gouda Company, so a waxed cheese making company. What he will do is regularly just go in and do very, very thin layers of wax, which he will sponge onto the cheese as it ages. And so he does multiple coats until it builds up that protective layer. His cheese, he just goes for an orange wax, but does age some of them for as long as 2 to 3 years. So the cheese that I've got here is very much a wonderful cheddar that takes into account all of that waxed cheese knowledge, but it's essentially a way of capturing flavour, intensifying it, preventing any spoilage as the cheese ages. But for me, it also has an ability to keep that cheese slightly more creamy than some aged cheddars, which can end up being a bit dry or a bit crumbly. I mean, I personally love those calcium lactate crystals that you get in a mature cheddar, but I like my cheddar to be, you know, great in a sandwich, melt well, so its melting point has still got that lovely stretch to it. So this one here, absolutely fantastic. If you haven't heard of it and tried it before, then go check it out. Today I'm going to be serving it in a proper beef burger, real traditional comfort food, and the drink I've gone for as well, just to complement the flavour of the cheese, but also work with some pickles and a lovely sort of Aberdeen Angus patty. I've got Longhorn Unfiltered IPA. I've chosen this just because I love the sort of fruity, hoppy tone of a good IPA. It's got some character. I quite like occasionally to have a beer that is not singing the same tune as your food, as in that you want a slight twist on it on the edge, because it's why IPAs and craft beer has done so well, as with sommeliers pairing it to pub menus, because there's that flexibility to deliver really dynamically different tastes and have a bit of fun. So this one, let's have a taste of this. It's lovely, really nice and hoppy. It's actually made with unfiltered rye IPA, named after Longhorn cattle. So it's quite full-bodied, brewed to maintain plenty of character. I mean, if you've ever seen a Longhorn cow or cattle before, they are magnificent sort of cattle. And they graze on the farm where the beer's made, on spent grain. I think the hoppy aroma with a good bitterness. Sometimes IPA can be a little bit insipid and weak for my taste. If it's too almost too pale and yellow, it's like this one's actually got a lovely familiar bitter profile that when you've got a burger and you've got, you know, a wonderful piece of cheese, you want something that is not too on the high note, but has got that balance that takes you back down to like a refreshing cleanser to the dish. So I think this is going to work really well. I can't wait to get in and cook with the cheese, see how it melts on a patty. I'm going down the proper good old-fashioned cheeseburger route with just a bit of acidity, a sour tang that I think is really important when you're using cheese and rich sort of grilled caramelized meats. So some dill cucumber pickles, going to do a very important job in the dish. And then just a good quality set of brioche rolls that I got from 44 Foods too. So I'm going to get in, fire up the grill and do some cooking. I've been looking forward to cooking this for a very long time. It's Black Bomber Burger with a beautiful Aberdeen Angus steak patty. And what I've got are some portobello mushrooms from 44 Foods that I'm going to basically fill with cheese and then grill. So instead of doing a sort of a cheeseburger, there's a vegetarian option for this recipe, or if you do eat, you know, good quality beef occasionally, then an Aberdeen Angus with the grilled mushroom and very much like loads and loads of melted Black Bomber Snowdonia cheese on top is going to be fantastic. So the way to start this is to prepare your mushroom. So for that, all I'm going to do is just remove the stalk from the center, and you don't need to waste them. If you are working with mushrooms and you remove the stalk, it's quite a nice thing to then basically treat them like a scallop, because basically they're the same shape. You can pan sear them, you know, nice little bit of truffle oil, serve them on top of a risotto. So keep those to one side. Next, I'm going to pop a very generous disc of this really gorgeous looking cheese, which I have to say I've tried quite a few times before, but I'm going to have a little slither now. Whoa. Wow. It's so creamy, so rich, but it's one of the best cheddar sort of cheeses that you'll find out there, really. Extra mature, so that's why it's got such a beautiful, robust flavour. So I'm now just chopping straight down through the cheese, which is its own 200 gram little truckle or wheel. And I'm going to place a very generous disc straight on top of the portobello mushroom. That's going then in the oven. I'm going to do two of these, one for me and one for my sound recordist wife here, who's also tried the cheese and it's got her seal of approval. So I'm going to pop these in the oven. I'm going to drizzle it with a little bit of oil as well, just so that the mushroom doesn't dry out. And these mushrooms are going to go on a tray in the oven, probably looking at about 15 minutes. So in they go, it's on at 180 degrees. So they're in there. Next, I'm going to move on to some of the other bits and bobs with this. I've got some really lovely hot lemon sauce, which is from the Fat Man Chili Company. It's a great name. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try on a bit of cheese. So a little drop. There's no point showing off when you're being recorded, so I'm just taking a little bit of it. Mmm. Wow. I'm so glad I've got some of this. It's got a beautiful citrus zing to it, and then chili as well. When I saw this, I thought, absolute genius. It's got mango, yellow peppers, lemons, and onion, with then some ginger, garlic. Showing off, they've even got some limoncello and garlic in there as well. That is delicious. So I'm going to use it actually to make quite a pokey mayonnaise, sort of a flavoured mayo. So probably about 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, and then shed loads of this hot lemon chili sauce, about a tablespoon. Stir that together. That's going to be the dressing inside this patty. Very excited by that. Next, I'm going to take these wonderful handmade sort of vegan brioche rolls. Again, if you're going down a vegetarian route, then you're only going to need the mushroom, but I've also got the beef burger patties I'm going to be grilling. Now, I always like to toast my patties before I pop in the burgers. The reason for this is you don't want to end up with a soggy base inside a beef burger. That's always, for me, a major turn-off. So I'm toasting them just in a hot skillet, and then we're going to spread on some of this lovely hot lemon chili sort of mayonnaise. I've also got a little gem, which is my go-to burger burger salad. The reason is it's crisp, it's crunchy, it's bright green. It delivers everything you want in a good burger. You could be, you know, trendy in 2018 and grill your little gem, but actually for this, I'm just keeping it really clean. I'm not even going to dress it. It's just fresh salad. Wonderful. Next up, make sure you don't burn your burger patties. Those are toasting really nicely. I've got a ridged skillet here, which is really useful. I'm going to cook the burgers in here in a second. I've also got some fresh garlic and dill pickles. So cucumbers, I've got some coriander seed, a little bit of garlic and some dill. Really, really good pickle. Again, that's going to give some of the acidity to cut through the rich cheese and the grilled meats. So the base of the burger patty roll here, sorry, the burger roll has been grilled. The top I've just bar marked as well. So we've got that. And now I'm going to move on to this Galloway Aberdeen Angus steak burgers. So these are coming fresh. They're really good. I normally make my own, but when you've got something that looks as good as this, it's going to be fantastic. And I also really love, you know, single origin burger meat. You know that you've got good quality beef in there. So all I'm going to do is ever so slightly drizzle a bit of oil onto the patty. I've got a very hot skillet, so I'm just coating it with a small amount of oil, and you'll probably hear the sizzle in a second, going straight into this skillet. And I'll cook them for about 4 minutes on each side, and then load up this burger. So the beef burgers have been cooking really well. I've got a gorgeous crust on the outside. I've got them in this ridge skillet. They've been flipped a couple of times, both sides. I'm now going to plate up, and I'm going to do that with the toasted bun, starting off on the base with a really good generous dollop of this lemon chili mayo. So I got that on the bottom. And again, it's been freshly toasted. Don't leave this hanging around for a while because you don't want the bread to go soggy. But that is stage one. Next up, a couple of lettuce leaves. Get them in there as well. Next, some fresh pickles. Just doing a couple of them. Again, they've got wonderful, you know, proper authentic flavors with coriander seeds, dill, garlic. Squeeze that patty, really nice and juicy. And they're going on top, sitting on top of that bed of lettuce. Oh, and then there was calm in the kitchen. And now I'm just waiting for the beautiful portobello grilled mushroom with that sort of black bomber cheese that's just melting. I had a quick sneak peek. It's about a minute away. Let's get these mushrooms out of the oven. Oh, wow. Oh, yum, yum. Okay. Now, this is exactly what I want. It's melted wonderfully. We've just got the mushroom has softened, so it's going to be grilled perfect on the burger. Lift that up. Remember, it's hot. Pop it on top of your beef burger. Actually, I'm going to flip it round. I'm putting the mushroom, and then I'm putting the beef patty right into the melted cheese. Which way around do you think? Oh, this is the first time I've made this recipe, obviously, so... Right, oh, melted cheese everywhere. That is wonderful. This one's going on top. Look at that. Oh my gosh. Right, I've got to go take a photo of this and then I'm going to eat it. The cheese is dripping off the edge of the mushroom down the beef burger patty. It looks fantastic. This is one of those very wonderful moments when you get to take a quick photograph of something because the cheese is just oozing off the portobello mushroom over the lovely Aberdeen Angus beef burger. Then I've got some crisp little gem, some pickles, and that sort of lemon chili mayo, all on a brioche roll. Looks fantastic. I bet it tastes even better. I'm going to take a quick photo of this. The star of the show, without a doubt, is that Snowdonia cheese blended with the beef burger. black bomber cheddar. It's extra mature, full of flavour, and it melts incredibly well.